Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. Then God gave the people all these instructions. I am the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. You must not have any other God but me. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. You must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. Honor your father and mother. Then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely against your neighbor. You must not covet your neighbor's house. You must not covet your neighbor's wife, male or female servant, ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the fact that your word guides us, directs us. It helps us to come to know you better and helps us to discern what's right, what's wrong, what honors you, what doesn't honor you, what's in our best interest and what is not. More and more, help us to fall more in love with you and with your word and empower us to become much more faithful students of your word who are both faithful hearers and doers of your word as well. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, you warn us in the Old Testament about when the Israelites were just doing what was right in their own eyes. And so, Father, I ask that reality, that you'd make that more clear to us, that we are often choosing to do what's right in our own eyes. And, Father, I ask that we would learn, that we'd seek after, that we'd pursue what's right in your eyes. Father, teach us more about your law, more about your ways. Because, Father, you are a loving God, and you give us the best ways we could live. Thank you so much, Father, for guiding us and for giving us the ways of life. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. Thank you for being a part of our listening family. We're honored to have as our first segment phone guest, once again, Dr. Ingrid Scott. She's a pro-life OBGYN and the medical director for the Charlotte Lozier Institute. Dr. Scott, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Pastor. Thanks for having me on.
An honor to have you on. Always a privilege. And I would mention, we're grateful to have you come on. You are going to speak to an issue that's a critical one in our culture. You know, there's so many tragedies around the abortion pills that are so readily available in our culture. You were going to speak to an incident that happened recently. Would you go ahead and just speak to that?
Yes, thank you. So your listeners may have seen the headlines, and of course this has been politicized by the Democrat Party. They think that abortion is a winning issue for them, but if it were such a winning issue, I don't know why they would feel the need to lie about it so much. The situation that you're referring to is two women who tragically died in Georgia from complications of abortion drugs. One of the women, Amber Thurman, died of sepsis, which is a known complication. The FDA, in fact, has a black box warning on this drug, mifepristone, alerting doctors that this can happen. This had nothing to do with Georgia's pro-life laws, but of course, because this issue is so contentious and politicized, the blame has been placed on Georgia's laws. But sadly, those were not the only women to die from these abortion drugs. Another young woman, Aliana Dixon, died in Nevada of the exact same serious sepsis. And yet no one is saying her name because Nevada does not have a pro-life law that can be blamed. So this clearly shows how politicized it is. But also I would point out that the FDA removed important safeguards allowing these drugs to be ordered online, delivered in the mail without any medical supervision, and they made those changes long before the overturn of Roe v. Wade. So it was the FDA's actions allowing just really unfettered access to these dangerous drugs that directly led to the deaths of these women.
So part of what you're saying then is that these precious young women actually died from complications after taking the abortion pills. Is that correct?
That is correct. They all three of the women, the other woman in Georgia, Candy Miller, had a failed abortion as well. But in her case, it appears that she may have overdosed on fentanyl, demonstrating how painful and horrible the process of a medication abortion is.
Mm-hmm. Would you take time now, Dr. Scott, to pray for the church to get so much more involved with the life issue, educating themselves about these kinds of issues so that we can know the right, know and see things from the right perspective and see them from God's perspective as well?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. Dear Lord Jesus, we know that you have created the preborn child in his mother's uterus, that you've lovingly crafted his innermost being, as you tell us in Psalm 139. And please open the eyes of the church to your strong love for this child. Open the eyes of the church to the harm that choosing an abortion does to a woman. You've created her to be a mother, and rejecting this beautiful gift from you can only lead to harm to her soul. And as we've seen, it has harmed our society as a whole. So please give us the courage and the bravery to speak out on this issue, even when it costs us, because our society, in rejecting you, has rejected this unborn child. And just please empower us all to do the right thing, to do your will, and to change this conversation so we can begin protecting these precious children's lives. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Dr. Scott, thank you so much. I know you keep a busy schedule. Thank you for being with us today. And thank you for coming and speaking to this issue. And our encouragement to the church is that we would educate ourselves to learn so much more about the life issue and the importance of standing for life and surrounding issues so that we'll do things, again, from a biblical perspective, because that's what we're called to do. Thank you, Dr. Scott, for being with us today.
Amen. Thank you for that. I appreciate
Amen.
It.
Amen. And again, thank you for being a part of our listening family. Again, an encouragement to every single listener. Make it your goal as an individual believer to educate yourself more so about these issues. Keep in mind, you know, one of the Ten Commandments tells us, you shall not murder. You know, that's very simple and to the point, but it's important that we understand this, that, again, every life is precious. Even though, sadly, we live in a culture that says it's okay to murder unborn babies, God's Word lets us know that's wrong, and there are no exceptions to that. We're not to murder unborn children. Yet, even though society tries to say it's okay and also tries to justify it, it's critical that we always stand on the side of the Word of God. Lord, thank you, Lord, for us as the church. Thank you for the opportunity we have of being able to know your Word and live your Word and be your ambassadors, your representatives who stand for truth in this culture and in this life. Thank you for us as the church. And thank you for us as a nation, Lord. Help us, Lord, as the church and as a nation, to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And, you know, I want to make it a goal to encourage every single listener, make it a goal to pray the Ten Commandments every single day, to pray them for yourself, for your family, for us as the church and as a nation as well. You know, one of the strategies of the enemy is to try to tell you that things are strategies such as praying the Ten Commandments. The devil will literally try to tell you, oh, that doesn't really accomplish anything. That's not productive. The devil himself knows it's very productive to pray the Ten Commandments on a daily basis because, amongst other things, it releases the grace of God and the angels of God to bring about his will more and more as God's people pray biblically. So our encouragement to you is that you will make it a goal as an individual believer for yourself again, for your family, for the church, and for our nation to pray the Ten Commandments every single day. And how important it is that we as the church recognize the need for us to literally sometimes have workshops and biblically based workshops or seminars where we teach believers about different aspects of this issue. And also, there's such a need for churches to decide that they're going to do more to help stand for life. You know, I'm of the opinion that every church should prayerfully ask God about the possibility of starting even just kind of a life committee. A group of believers in your church who pray for local pregnancy clinics, pray for issues that relate to the life issue, but also who look into ways to do things such as help do fundraising events for local pregnancy clinics and for pro-life ministries, and how they can volunteer to help provide diapers and other baby items for local pregnancy clinics. You know, your local pregnancy clinic can use so, so much help. I want to ask you to please continue to pray for the ministry that the Lord led my wife and I to start, the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center Ministry. It's a ministry located in the Mississippi Delta, presently serving in the Greenwood, Mississippi community. Please pray for the ministry. It's important to understand that as our the precious ladies that make up the staff, as they're doing their job, they pray with the clients. They do free ultrasounds. They do free pregnancy tests. Try to encourage the women. One of the goals, of course, is always to encourage them to consider keeping their baby or to consider placing the child for adoption. But the goal is to always encourage them to not go down the road of abortion. Every child is precious. And it's important to know that we as believers, there's so much more we as the church can be doing. So I want to challenge you as an individual believer and as someone who is a part of your church to prayerfully consider finding your local pregnancy clinic, giving on a monthly basis. My experience is so many pregnancy clinics operate to some extent on a shoestring budget. They really need the support of churches. I think it's a great idea for every church in a given county to place the local pregnancy clinic in your budget. Why not? Because, again, they're helping to do the work of the church. They're the arms and the hands and the feet of Jesus. But pray daily for them because there's a lot of spiritual warfare that happens around your average pregnancy clinic. I'd like to mention that if you'd like more information about our clinic, please pray daily for it. Our website is deltapchc.org. Again, that's deltapchc.org. And, again, our ministry is named the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center Ministry, again based in Greenwood, Mississippi. We need your prayers. The warfare around the life issue is tragically heavy. Our staff needs your prayers. And if you feel so led of the Lord to give financially to help us, we appreciate it. We actually can use all the help the Lord will provide for us. So again, same website to learn more information about how to do that, deltapchc.org. But pray daily for our ministry. Pray daily for your local pregnancy ministry. Pray for pro-life ministries that are out there on the front lines helping to stand for life and against abortion. We'll be right back.
To give you all the praise.
music of Planet Shakers with Only Way, a reminder that Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life and eternal salvation. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Please pray for Dr. Ingrid Skop and many other believers the Lord is using to help people know the truth related to the life issue. Again, our first segment guest. And may it be your goal to prayerfully consider getting more involved with the critically important matter of standing boldly for life in our culture and in our world. We're grateful to have now, for the balance of our broadcast, two phone guests, Sister Marla Hill and Chad Christensen, both of a ministry called In the Gap Ministries. Sister Marla and Chad, how are you all today?
We are doing great.
Yes, thank you so much. It's good to be with you today.
A privilege to have both of you with us today. And I'm going to ask if we'll start with Sister Marla to, and then Brother Chad to briefly introduce yourselves, and then we're going to come back to each of you to let you share a little bit more about who you are and what you do in relation to both In the Gap Ministries and another project called 52 Days of Prayer as well. But Sister Marla, if you'll start us off.
Hello. Thank you so much for having us, Pastor Joseph. And we are so grateful to be here because we do believe in the power of prayer. And we saw an opportunity to activate the body of Christ for such a time as this. And so as I have been praying for our country and our land, and I've been mourning as Nehemiah and just seeking the Lord, the Lord has given an idea of a rebuilding. And so Nehemiah, he rebuilt the borders of his land, and he did it in 52 days, the borders of Jerusalem. And so what we are doing through 52 Days of Prayer and an organization called the Turnaround.us is rebuilding this foundation that we are one nation under God. And I'm sure your listeners are like us, that they're looking around, they're seeing the despair of our country and truly noticing the status of the children. And so that has been my heart. And so we have begun this 52 days of prayer for such a time as this that is culminating on November 4th.
Okay. Well, would you, before we go further, would you take time to pray for listeners to have ears to hear all the Lord wants to say to them through the broadcast today?
I so would. Thank you so much. Dear Heavenly Father, it is a privilege to come boldly to your throne room. Father God, I pray that you would guide and direct our steps and anoint our words to activate the body of Christ, to rekindle us, Father God, when we come together, fire that burns inside of us burns brighter because we have united with other believers. And so I pray that the fire within me, this Holy Spirit fire, would be spread, and so everyone listening would hear it and be rekindled to actively share prayer in our land. That is an active living relationship with you, Father God. And so let us be excited to remember who we are and whose we are. So we dedicate this time to you for your purposes. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. And Brother Chad, can you tell our listeners a bit about yourself as well?
Yes, well, it's great to be with everybody today. So my name is Chad Christensen, and I'm here in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And over 14 years ago, we started an organization called In the Gap, and we can visit a little bit about that later. But it was neat. About a year ago, actually, Marla and I reconnected. We had gone to a class, her and her husband, Brian. We had attended a leadership class many years ago together. And then a year ago, the Lord kind of reconnected us through some mutual projects and concerns. And now it's been really neat just to see, you know, how the Lord is just growing and moving and here in Oklahoma, but across the land. It's just so encouraging. So anyway, I'm excited we can be together today and trust that your listeners will be just encouraged with the hope that, wow, the Lord is moving in mighty ways, and there's a spot for all of us to get involved in this fight.
All right. Well, would you also take time to pray, you know, it's important, obviously, not only for the broadcast, but that we as believers live in a listening mode, because God always has wisdom, counsel, and direction for us in order to be, for us to be about His work and His will in the world. Would you pray for believers to live more in a listening mode for this broadcast and beyond as well?
Yes, let's do that. Well, Father, thank you. Thank you that we can come before you today. Lord, I thank you for humbling yourself to behold us and to be aware exactly what's going on in each person's life. I thank you that you know when we get up and when we lie down, when we go out and we come in, you care about us so deeply. You even know the hairs on our head and the thoughts in our hearts. And Father, today I thank you for each person that's listening and knowing that every single one is alive today because you have a purpose for us in this moment in history. Each one is here for such a time as this. And Father, I pray that you would just give us sensitivity to your promptings, that you would cultivate in our hearts ones who are open and willing vessels that you can flow through. Like Isaiah, when you were asking, who can I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah responded, here I am, send me. Father, would you help us to listen and then be obedient to your promptings? And so we just commit this time to you. And it's in the powerful name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Chad. So, Marla, would you dive right in and tell our listeners more about the specific tasks and work that the Lord has placed on your heart to be about at this time?
So it's so exciting because this vision for the turnaround 52 days of prayer really sprung up less than 52 days prior to its beginning. And what I saw were leaders all across the state of Oklahoma, leaders and pastors, if they would help guide and lead us. And so I put together a framework of an outline based upon the model of Nehemiah, the steps that he took to rebuild the wall. And then we included other scriptures throughout the Word, New Testament and Old Testament, showing those very same steps so that we're seeing, yes, Nehemiah took those steps, but we can also see evidence of those very same steps, very many places throughout God's Word. And so we have 52 different devotional leaders each day who have authored the devotion and offered a turnaround question of our heart to take before the Lord and a prayer. And what has been amazing to see, you know, when we began this journey, we had no idea what would be happening. And as the prayers have been coming out, it seems like, oh, Lord, look at this. How providential of you to do this. I'm giving the Lord glory for this because it's not an accident that the prayers for the day are aligning with the needs of our nation. And so I just give God glory. So we have done a week recently on Do Not Be Afraid. And so fear is rampant. That is the enemy's, bait of Satan to get us to be afraid and not trust God. Mm-hmm. And then the next week that is coming up, I'm excited to invite your listeners to, is about proclaiming God's greatness and remembering the fear of the Lord. If we remember the fear of God, it puts everything else into proper perspective and His awesome power.
Mm. So in part, would it be accurate to say then that you're inviting people to get involved with the 52 Days of Prayer project by becoming prayer partners with you, but also you mentioned the idea of them doing more to reach out to children and young people as well. Is that right?
That is right. So just as Nehemiah rebuilt the borders, and when he did that, there's also gates to enter into the city. And so so what I've seen is that there are these gates and that the status of the children of our land are not safe. So we have this first 52 days of prayer to evangelize to the body of Christ to reactivate us, to unite as one. And then we're going to do 52 days of prayer in the spring to showcase the status of the children and that it is the responsibility of the body of Christ to safeguard the children of the land and to bring knowledge of God to that land. And so, yes, Pastor Joseph, we are shining a light, even amongst this first 52 days rebuilding, we're shining a light upon the status of the children.
Okay, so if someone wants to learn more about the project or how they could connect or get involved, how could they do that?
Okay, so we have a website that we would like to ask your listeners to go to, theturnaround.us, theturnaround.us, and they can go and sign up and receive prayer prompts and be a part of a huge body of prayer warriors that are praying for our land. And then we also have a Facebook presence, and we do live events on our Facebook on Sundays. And we're going to do a live event on November the 4th, the day before the election. Mm-hmm. And our Facebook is the Turnaround-US.
Okay.
So if they would go to the turnaround.us on the website, and there's also a link there, but they could also find us at the turnaround-us on Facebook.
All right. Okay, then. And so is it such then that, like, both you're encouraging people to get involved with praying with you during this 52 days of prayer, but also that they would get involved with more specifically ministering to and discipling children as well? Am I correct in my thinking there?
Yes. And let me ask Chad to kind of build upon that.
Okay.
Yes. So, and again, appreciate everybody tuning in today. This is such an important topic because, you know, this aspect of prayer and seeking the Lord on behalf of our nation is so critical. And I know people are tuning into this. They care about that and they care about prayer. And, you know, it's interesting, when Nehemiah, when he heard about the condition that was back in his hometown, Jerusalem, you know, what was his first response? He didn't just turn away going, man, that was a bummer. That's too bad. Instead, he allowed God to stir his heart, and that stirring in his heart led to him praying and seeking God earnestly for many, many days. And then through that prayer, it led to then an action. And an action that was pretty audacious. You know, here's the you know, the guy who, you know, he's got a nice job, but he's still kind of down the totem pole. I mean, he's not on any great planning committees, or he's not on, you know, the king's council. He tests the wine to make sure that nobody's poisoned him, you know? And yet what happened, he realized, wow, there's a huge need. And so what did he do? He prayed, he asked God for a vision. God gave him the vision, so he audaciously came to the king and asked these crazy requests that he could go back, rebuild, that the king would fund it. And yet what happened? God opened amazing doors and went back, and then in a short amount of time, God moved in Jerusalem, and they pulled people together. And so that's what the beautiful thing is. So we have the 52 days of prayer, inviting people to pray. And then the natural next step of action is inviting people to get involved in a mission field that's right in our backyard. Now, many of your listeners are, I'm sure, familiar with the 1040 window, you know, the most unreached people groups in the world. And yet I'd like to submit, we have another demographic that's an unreached people group right here in America, and that's what we call the 414 window. And the 414 window is children between the ages of 4 to 14. Now, historically, what we know is that over 80% of believers today accepted Christ when they were actually in that window, that between the 4 and 14 years old. And this is a powerful thing. This is so exciting. And that is this. God is opening doors in the public schools of America for us to have after-school Bible clubs for those children, for elementary age children. And the thing we know about children through, and George Barna did a great research study here a little while back, but he found that 50% of a child's belief system is established by the time they turn age six. 50% by the time they turn age six. That's huge. And that also might shed light on why there's such a major battle right now for, like, children's books. Why are we having pornographic stuff in children's books for kindergarten even, and even pre-K. Why is that? Well, there's a battle for their hearts and souls, because the enemy knows if he can get them messed up and believing lies by the time they turn six, that's 50% of the belief system. Well, then he went on to find this study, goes on to show that over 90% of a child's belief system is established by age.
Chad, I'm going to need to jump in right here. We're coming up on a break, and you can pick up right there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guests are Marla Hill and Chad Christensen of In the Gap Ministries. We'll be right back. Music from the group Mosaic with Tremble. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guests are Marla Hill and Chad Christensen of the ministry In the Gap Ministries, and they're sharing about some outreach projects they're involved with. Brother Chad, if you'll pick up where you left off, please.
Yes, absolutely. So just recapping, you know, 50% of a child's belief system is established by the time they turn age six. And in a study, they showed that the 90% is established by the time they turn age 13. And so what we know now is that children are so open. They're open to the truth, but they're also open to lies. And that's where I think right now, this moment in history for believers to step into this space and be able to minister to children right in their local elementary schools, this is an amazing time. And actually, over the past 2 years, the Supreme Court has peeled back many different laws that we've had in the past 30, 40 years. They've peeled them back, and now really, this is one of the most open times we have as Americans for religious freedom. Now we just have to go and knock on those doors. So this is an amazing time. I did just want to remind the audience, though, if you go to the website, theturnaround.us, which is theturnaround.us, they can, again, learn more. Sign up for these prayer prompts and be part of this movement in reaching this next generation for Christ.
And this is a movement. We're calling it the Turnaround Revolution. And it's activating the body of Christ through an active living prayer relationship with our God Almighty. And through that prayer, just as Nehemiah did, if we will seek him in prayer, seek him in mourning, he will, as the grand director, creator of all, he will unite us as one to not only bring back our country, but also to reach the children and to turn everything around. Mm. So I'm just so excited even though everything is looking so dark and dismal right now, when you consider the hurricane, how it's hit Florida and the surrounding areas and surrounding states twice now, and then what is going on in Israel and all of the uncertainty with regards to Israel, Russia, Iran, we need prayer more than ever. And as Chad was talking about studies, There are also Harvard studies that prove that an active prayer life alleviates stress, depression, and it is good for your mental health. And so I just want to reactivate our trust in God and our faith in God and rekindle us by coming together.
Well, I'm going to ask, would both each of you, would you take a moment to pray for the church to become much more wise and strategic about addressing some of the issues you all have mentioned? Because again, on the one hand, a person or the church can feel overwhelmed. But on the other hand, through prayer, we can help make a difference with all the issues you've mentioned. So would each of you pray for the church with regards to these matters?
Mm-hmm. Let's do it. You want to start, Chad?
Sure. Father, thank you that we can come before you. Father, we do pray for your wisdom right now. Thank you for the promise that if anyone lacks wisdom, we can ask you, and you will give it abundantly. And so we do just ask, Father, would you give us wisdom? Would you give us wisdom to see, again, how you want us to be activated in our communities? Lord, would you give us your heart? Would you help us to see like Nehemiah and be like Nehemiah's, where when we see issues that instead of just becoming calloused and moving on, that we actually seek you, we humble ourselves before you, and we allow you to flow through us. So, Father, I pray that you do that. Lord, each one that's listening right now, would you do that in our hearts? Lord, for the churches that we represent, would you also do that in those congregations as well? Or would you just be stirring and moving or giving a deep desire to be the hands and feet of Jesus? We know, Lord, you are the solution. You're the solution to all the issues that we see around us. And, Father, we just invite you now to fill our hearts with hope, to fill our hearts with vision, to show us what our next steps are. And Lord, would you give us the faith to be obedient and to be your ambassadors in those areas you call us to be. So we lift these things to you. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word that you share with us through your word so that we can see how human nature works. And so that as the enemy is trying to scare us into inaction and scare us into unbelief, that we say, no, no, get back. We will not be afraid. We will stand on the holy word of God and we will speak his word. And Father, we thank you that you made us in your image. In the image of God, you've made us male and female. And so just as you spoke the whole world into being, and you leave us with your word, we speak your word. And so, Father, you said that we are to multiply and subdue the earth, and we accept responsibility that government is your design, and that we are to multiply and subdue it. And so, Father God, for times such as this, we lift up our government, and we ask for your holy hand to be upon America in these tumultuous times. And I would like to speak to the church to rise up, the body of Christ, and that the remnant that is listening here, we know that those who are active in their prayer life, that they are the remnant of the body of Christ. And I just want to speak boldness and courage, and that we would be as the yeast, as Jesus said that we could be as the yeast, that we would multiply and we could rise up this whole loaf of bread, this whole nation. If we would activate, if we would trust you, if we would seek you and step out in faith. It was Nehemiah stepping out in faith. He sought you, and you gave him a vision, and then he stepped out in faith. And the more we step out boldly and open our mouths and speak, that is an activator, a builder of our faith. And Father God, we thank you that it pleases you that when we do step out in faith, and that the act of prayer is an act of faith, and in that through prayer, you guide us and lead us and direct us. So I speak to the church that the church would rise up, that it would not say government is not our lane or this is not our lane, that they would accept responsibility, that the church would accept responsibility to multiply and subdue and go out and serve in love. So it's in the holy name of Jesus that we pray and we ask for your divine favor and protection in his name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you all so much. You know, I want to say this to both Marla and Chad, something that in view of what you all have shared, and again, looking at the statistic you mentioned, that 50% of a child's belief system is established by, what was the age again?
By age six.
By age six. You know, something that is so, it's very basic, very foundational, yet it's something that sadly has been too often neglected. We as believers, we're called by God to disciple our children. And a major part of discipling our children is helping them to become diligent students of the Word of God, believers who read and study it daily. Our time is just about gone, but would each of you just briefly pray that God would stir us to very simply help our children get rerooted in the Word? Because the fact is, many a child, they're addicted to their cell phones, and their cell phones are often are tools whereby darkness is being poured in into their lives, and they're being discipled in darkness. Would you pray very briefly, and again, our time is almost gone, but just briefly, that we as the church will reroot our children in God's Word?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Father, first we just ask for your forgiveness for letting this generation slip away, and our priorities have been messed up. And I pray, Father, that you would stir our hearts, that we would see this next generation so important, as so important. And Father, would you deliver this next generation from evil? And would you allow us to intentionally invest in this next generation, in our children, our grandchildren, the children in our church, and our children in our community, to teach them your ways diligently when we go out and we come in and we sit down, we stand up, or around mealtimes or in the car, all throughout the day, would we, you help us to speak truth in our children's lives, that they would be disciples of Jesus and that they would be a mighty army for you in the days to come. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you all again so much for being with us today. And share the websites one more time for people that are wanting more information about the projects you all have mentioned.
The turnaround.us. Also, we have reserved this other name as well. So both names will take you there. 5252 Days of Prayer. 52daysofprayer.us, 52daysofprayer.com, or 52daysofprayer.org. Just type in 52 Days of Prayer. That will pull up our website. It will take you there to sign up to be a part of this national prayer movement to rebuild, and also to be a part of future prayer movements of God to rebuild in other areas. In the spring, we will be rebuilding 52 Days of Prayer for the Children and showing how to adopt your public school.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for being with us today. And it is our goal to have you all and probably some of your associates back on to share more about the project or projects you all have mentioned. So thank you again for being with us today. Please keep up the great work. And again, I'm hopefully lots of our listeners will choose to want to get involved with working with you and or maybe starting something similar in their own community. So thank you all so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Pastor.
All right.
It's great to be with you as well.
Honored to have you on. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you know you have never made the eternally important decision of asking Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, today is a wonderful day to be saved. We'd like to invite you to make that step. If you would, from simply pray this prayer with us from your heart, we invite you to pray it and commit your heart and your life, your entire being, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to seek you in prayer daily. Help me to obey you daily. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, we want to be in touch with you. Please get in touch with us. My email is joseph@afr.net. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. Please get in touch with us. We hope to hear from you. One more time, Marla and Chad, those websites for listeners that want to get involved.
It'd be theturnaround.us or 52daysofprayer.us.
All right. Thank you all so much for being with us, and keep up the great work, all right?
All right. Thank you. You too.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.